the social media world is a magical place, but it could be very toxic as well, because you're comparing with people from the same field, even your peers, the same age or even younger than you, they're doing so well. And you'll be like, what am I doing? You know, why am I doing that? Why aren't I doing that well? How are you going to compare with one another? Some people, they earn a lot at the young age. Some of them get a lot, but maybe your time would be at the end, you know, maybe later. So the moment you stop comparing all the time, that's when you can actually use more of your energy to actually focus on what you're doing and what you're good at.
Hi, this is Eric here, and you're listening to Hashtag Highly Sought After. Welcome to yet another episode of Hashtag Highly Sought After. And in this episode, we have with us a rising star from Malaysia. Now, in the last 4 years, he has appeared in 40 to 50 commercials in Malaysia, Korea, and China. He has appeared in 15 web television and drama, including the high-profile reality show by Astro, Call Me Handsome. He was also the top 15 finalist for the Super Idol 4 in Shanghai, a Chinese boy band theme competition. And you know what's the best part? He was doing all that wow, he has a full-time job. Now, what is exactly this young man's secret to being in such demand in a highly competitive entertainment world? I kind of know his backstory. You're about to be very, very surprised. Daniel, you sing, you dance, you model, you train people in fitness. I mean, and how do you end up doing so many things and to do it so well that today you are so in demand? Tell us, what's your backstory, man?
Yeah, but I mean, it's pretty cool that now that you think about it, but I wasn't always like that. I was actually doing, studying economics back in uni, and I actually graduated not long ago. So it's around like 4 years back. And I, after graduating, I went to do, I was working in a corporate insurance company for a year management training.
What did you just say? Do you just say corporate insurance?
Yeah, corporate insurance management training. Yeah.
You do know, right? We have a lot of listeners from the insurance and finance business. So, wow, we have one of you. Yay. Okay, so you were in corporate insurance. And after that, what were you doing after?
Yeah, because I never thought that I'd be in this line of work. I always wanted to go the old-fashioned way, climbing the corporate ladder. So after I came out, I was like doing insurance sales. I went to an agency, was doing insurance sales and stuff. So it's you know, it's a normal thing, you know, I suppose.
And I do know of a lot of people doing very well in that path, right? But how do you start making a detour into entertainment? I'm very curious.
Okay, so if I'm going to tell that story, it has to bring back to when I was studying in college. So when I was studying A-levels in college, because A-levels, we study a lot. We don't really get a lot of me time and going out with friends. So one day, a friend of mine was saying, hey bro, do you want to be on TV or not? I'm like, TV? Yeah, you know, you always liked the idea of being on TV. You know, you like the idea of being a celebrity, a superstar. So I was like, yeah, how are we going to do it? He's like, let's go for modeling castings. I was like, modeling castings? You mean like what, commercials? Like, yeah, commercials. So we were looking at a newspaper. We found a few, just so happened, some of the advertisement came out. Like, hey, we're having this new commercial agency. You know, if you're this age, this height, whatever, come and try out. I'm like, okay, let's go. Went there, tried out the casting. We waited for around like 5 hours there because there were flooded with people. But we went in the casting. It took around only like 5 minutes, and the guy was like, "Okay, we'll call you back when there's a job." Okay, so my first job was after like half a year after I went for the casting. I had forgotten about it. They texted me like, "Hey, we have this job for you. You are confirmed." And the ad is actually for Old Town White Coffee. So it's actually for the shops of Old Town White Coffee. So I was the main character and stuff. So we're like, are you free in this day, this amount we're paying? At the time when you're studying, look at the amount of money, you're like, oh shit, that's a lot of money. So I went for that. And after going to that, I actually got a lot of other commercials.
Because they see you on television, right? And that's how you get referrals.
Yeah, they see you on television. And the modeling agencies are always looking for new faces to come up. So it all started from me saying yes to my friend, like, hey, bro, do you want to go for casting? Like, I could have said like, hey, I want to study hard for my A-levels, you know, I don't want to ace the exam and stuff. But I said yes to that. So it got me from that job. And that 2 years, I gotten more than 20 commercials.
Amazing. You know, Daniel, what you just shared with me remind me of a movie called I Bought a Zoo. And the key message behind the movie was, sometimes in life, all we need is just 20 seconds of insane courage. 20 seconds of just saying yes to an opportunity that scares you, and you watch how your life unfolds. And you did exactly that. Whoever listening to this interview right now with Daniel Fong from Malaysia, you know, I highly recommend you go out there, say yes to something, you know, and you might be surprised about how life will reward you with courage, right? Your courage. So Daniel, let's walk us through, you know, you've been doing this from what I understand, you were doing this part-time, you know, while you're still in insurance, you were doing for 3 years part-time. You were acting, singing, doing commercials, and it was only in the recent late 2019 where you do it full-time. So tell us, what were some of the key milestones of your career and what were some of the lessons that you learned from it? Start way at the beginning. What would be one big one for you?
Yeah, I think the really, really good one was when I came back from Melbourne. I just graduated with my economics degree in Monash. So I was in reading management training. So because we got our startup pay. It's really miserable, if you know, like how fresh grads get their pay is really insane, miserable. So I was thinking like, hey, since I'm back in Malaysia, why don't I start doing some commercials? It's going to take up like a day. Just like maybe you can take a day off. Sometimes it happens on weekends and you can earn a lot of money. You can earn even up to a month's salary, you know, just from one gig. So I started going back to commercials. I went for like more than 10 commercials. So there was particular one commercial. I didn't get a job, but I actually met someone there. I actually met a manager, an agent from China. And I was noticing this guy, he was looking at me, you know, he didn't want to talk to me, but then like, after his talent came out, he actually came up to talk to me and he's like, hey, I think that you look really good. And I think I can get more jobs for you in China. Here's my name card. So out of nowhere, you know? So I was like, okay. And at that time, I wasn't even thinking like China is a market for acting and stuff, because at that time, it wasn't that big as it is now. I didn't even know about it. It's like China, okay. So 3 days later, I decided to give him a text. I'm like, okay lah, you know, what's there to lose? So I texted him. He'll be like, oh, hi, my name is this one, and I'm from here. He introduced himself. So he was like, do you have a profile or something? And at the time, my profile is, you know, it's just it's photos of me taken by a friend on Instagram. So I just put a picture on a white piece of paper, just my picture and my vital stats and stuff. Then he looked at the profile. He'll be like, okay. Then he'll be like, I'll let you know if there's a job. So I was, I flew back to Melbourne to graduate, and he texted me when I was in some of the last days in Melbourne. He was like, hey, I got this job, you know, it's a day after, one of my talent couldn't make it, and I think you suit this particular role the best. And I want someone from Malaysia, and I don't know a lot of people from Malaysia. I'm like, okay, when is it? He said, the day after you have to fly to Beijing. I'm like, whoa, that's very rush. I'm still in Melbourne, you know, I don't think I can make it. I was like, can you postpone? He said, no, it's Tong Ren Tang, one of the biggest Chinese medicine brand in the world. I'm like, okay, I don't even know that brand at the time. I'm like, oh, again, the biggest Chinese medicine brand. I'm like, okay, cool. Let me try and see to make it happen. So he told me like, you need to have your Chinese visa and all this kind of stuff. So I was like, how am I going to do it within a day? So I was kind of like asking my parents, asking my friends. They said, oh, you can hire a runner and do it for you. So I actually texted the runner when I was in Melbourne. I'm like, please meet me at the airport at this time. So I went back. I reached the airport at that time. He was there waiting for me. I gave him my passport and the photo I've taken in Melbourne. Then he sent it to get the visa done. And the night itself, he gave me back. And the next day I flew to Beijing. Yeah. It's pretty crazy. So went there, did the commercials and stuff, and my profile is...
So the commercial was legit. You actually trusted him.
I just trusted him. So
flying all the way to China.
Yeah, it was pretty scary. I actually trusted him, and I was like, okay, why not? You know, like I saw his website, I saw his stuff. It seems pretty legit. So I went there. Even the day itself, the night itself, when I reached there, I was thinking over his place. I was like, is this a scam? Am I getting scammed? And the kind of stuff. Then the next day, he brought me to Tong Ren Tang. We had a shoot there and I met all the bosses and stuff. So at that moment of time, I was like, okay, it's legit. Okay. So I think because I was young, I had nothing to lose. So I feel like, what's the worst thing I can do? I'm a guy as well. So I'm not a girl, you know, and that kind of stuff. So I feel like there's nothing to lose. So that's how I went for it.
And was it one of the best decisions ever, saying yes to that deal?
Yeah, it's one of the best decisions ever. Because why? Because once I did this commercial, it was a highly budgeted commercial. So it's all around the railway station in Beijing. And it was in a few commercials agency and also some talent agencies. My profile was there. So Astro, Malaysia Astro, actually went to China, Beijing, to actually sort out for talents from China to actually participate in their new show at that time. It's called Call Me Handsome. It's one of their strongest IP until today. So they are searching for talents for their first season. And they saw my profile and they realized I'm Malaysian and they wanted a bit more. They wanted me more. So I was back in Malaysia already. And then they contacted me. I went for the show. So I went for Call Me Handsome show and it actually boosted up my social media a lot. So that was a great decision. And after that, from this Call Me Handsome show, I was introduced to go for a web Chinese drama, their first web Chinese drama. And their first web Chinese drama actually boomed. So everything just went up at the time. And all because I say yes to him. Yeah. All because I say yes. With that one guy, I say yes to him. So until today, my career, the base of my acting and singing career is actually from this. This is the base.
I love that. That's so beautiful. To the rest of you guys, always hoping that you get your big break. Your big break comes from saying yes to all the small breaks. You know, or just saying yes to everything because you never know how it's going to connect. I think Steve Jobs mentioned that, right? Sometimes you got to just do it. And only when you look backwards, you see how the dots connect. I think this is so inspiring, Daniel. So this is just one milestone. Give us a second one. We love this. We love your stories. Tell us a second one.
All right. Yeah. So that was the acting milestone. So from there, I have a lot of acting jobs because of this milestone. So the second one is in 2018, I decided to do like, hey, you know, besides acting, why don't I try singing? I always love singing. I started singing to because I was trying to like go for some girls, you know, and stuff, like, you know. So I was like, okay, like typical, you know. So I had a friend. He decided to be like, hey, you know, I think you need a manager. Like jobs are coming in, you might not be able to handle it. I'm like, yeah, cool, you can be my manager and stuff. So he's like, hey bro, have you ever tried singing? I'm like, I have not tried singing. He's like, let's do some covers, you know. Like, okay. Then I started doing some covers, using my own money. Had around like 4 or 5 covers. And then he's like, hey, let's do some busking shows, you know, like to test out whether you are courageous in the public and stuff. So we went to malls. We went to, I still remember which mall it was. It was Mitsui, the Sepang Mall. So we know that they have, because we have connections with the event management. So we actually know that they are actually hiring this Malaysian artist to come to do a meet and greet session. So there's going to be a lot of Malay fans there. So we were telling the owner, they're Japanese. We're like, hey, why don't I perform for free? You know, free stuff. And then I'm like, who are you? Why are you going to perform? So I showed them my artist profile, which I have gathered throughout the last past year. It was beautifully done already. So I was like, it's me, you know, like this kind of stuff. You have nothing to lose. And I'm an artist as well. You have nothing to lose. And I'm performing for you for free. Like when they hear the word free, and then I show them some of my covers, which I did, they're like, oh, yeah, it's pretty good. So they're like, yeah, perform for free. I'm like, okay, yeah, for free, sure. Then I went there and performed and stuff. And then after I performed, I realized that, oh, I can actually do it in public. I know how to interact with the fans. You don't even know who is going to turn up because there's no announcement. There's no host saying like, all right, let's welcome Daniel Fung. There's no such thing. It's just me taking the mic, go there, like music, you know, like start singing in the public, that kind of stuff.
You're nervous because like all these fans were here not for you, you know, they were here for someone else.
They were here for someone else. Then after me singing the two songs, they actually came to me like taking photos and stuff. I'm like, okay, it's working. I actually had some friends to come over. I'm like, hey, come over just in case nobody lion me, you know. Nobody want to...
Wait, what's lion?
Okay, so like, so basically I was telling them, like, I asked my friend to come in, like, just in case no one wants to interact with me, like no one wants to watch me sing, you know, at least you guys are there, like at least there's some people there.
Someone will cheer for you and clap for you, right?
Yeah, they will cheer for me and stuff. So, but at the end, everybody was cheering. So yeah, that was one of the, after that, I was, because of the Astro show that was linked to, they sold the show to China. So the web show, they showed it to China. So China people saw that show. This company saw that show. So they are also hosting one of the a big production competition, a boy band competition called Super Idol 4. So they actually asked me to audition for it. So it started from there. There's a pattern there. So basically I started singing and just so happened they asked me to audition for it. And I have to show them clips of me dancing, rapping, and singing. I'd be like, I just started singing not long ago. Now I have to rap and dance. I'm like, okay. So what I did was I hired a dancing coach to show me some moves for maybe around like 3 weeks. Then I record a casting video for them. And I chose a Chinese song that has rap and sing in and like normal melodies in it. So I sent that over. And then I was telling my friend, I say like, if I got chosen, I need to be comfortable to perform in front of 10,000 to 20,000 people. He's like, I know this platform called Famine 30. I was like, Famine 30, isn't that the biggest charity show in Malaysia that has 10 to 15,000 people? I'm like, yeah, let's ask them, you know. Send in my profile, we ask them, we pull some strings. They'll be like, oh, sorry, we have artists performing, but you need to be like a recording artist. You got to have your own song. You got to have your own album. So I was like, I don't have my own song. I've only been singing covers and my covers don't even have a lot of views. The most views I get was only like 10 to 100,000. So then some people have millions of views. So I was telling them, I was like, hey, we set up a meeting and stuff. So I was like, hey, why not? I do something different for your show. Like your show starts at 9:30, right? Why don't I perform at the 9 a.m. session instead of 9:30, because you guys start at 9:30. And I will hire dancers. I'll pay for my own dancers. I'll do the music for this particular song. And then this will be what you get. They'll be like, oh, that's really interesting. You know, I say you have nothing to lose, honestly. And you just got to be slightly earlier and people are still coming in, you know? So yeah, so it's just entertainment for them and it's free. I'm doing it for free and I'm actually hiring people to perform for you guys.
And then what did they say?
They say like, all right, let's do it. So I'm like, okay, wow. So I hired the dancers. We practiced for a month, singing the song and everything. So we performed for Famine 30 in front of 10,000 people. But even though the people there are very tired and hungry because they've been starving themselves for 30 hours as well as Famine 30, but it's okay. You perform the song. You see people interacting with you as well. So it's not as scary as I thought it would be.
Hmm. What is the lesson that you learned from this? Like, if you look back.
Yeah. So basically if I look back, right, I could always tell those people like, oh, you need to be a recording artist. All right. Thank you. I'll get my single first. Then I'll come back. But that's going to take a long time. It's going to take 6 to 8 months. So I was telling them like, why not? I think in their shoes, I think in their perspective, like what do they actually want from this? They actually want to entertain the crowd because they've been starving themselves for 30 hours. So I gave them a different entertainment, like something different. So people always go there and just sing song and just like very peaceful, la, 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 not singing through the MMOs, which are just like the background music. So I'll say like, I'll have live dancers and we will do a professional, whatever shit. La. So I did a lot of different stuff. So they bought the idea. So I guess one thing I learned about this is never give up even though someone says no.
Exactly. I think if you guys have been listening all the way to this moment, right? You know, this young chap, Daniel Fong, is not just a good-looking guy, but he has a hustle spirit in him. This is what I'm getting. Like, you never back down from a no. Like, you go for yes, and no is just not yet. Or you figure out a way to get something, you know? How can the rest of us listening to you have that kind of spirit? That kind of hunger, that drive?
I think it's because a lot of my friends, because I study economics, a lot of them are entrepreneurs and some of them own businesses right now as well. So sometimes I would always say yes to something, even though when I'm not ready inside. I think it's very similar to those who are actually selling products. You will say yes to your client first before even having your own product. You get what I mean? So it's sort of something like that. It's like you're not even sure that you're ready for it, but you just say yes. If they agree to it, use that time to actually prep for it, to actually be as good as possible.
So grab the opportunity first and then go do whatever it takes to be able to fulfill that opportunity.
Exactly. Because you never know when you're ready, you don't even have a question to say yes to. You don't have people asking you things like, do you want to do it? And then you say yes to. Because that's you will never be ready, honestly. Especially in this line of entertainment, you'll never be ready.
Oh my God, please say that again. You will never be?
You will never be ready.
Exactly. Daniel, you think about it. If you didn't put yourself out there to practice dancing in front of 10,000 people, you will not have been ready for the Super Idol 4. Would you say that?
Yeah, exactly. And after this performance, I actually got into the top 50 for Super Idol 4. And I actually have to go to Shanghai for 3 months for intense training in dancing, singing, and rapping. And then we have to perform. It's like elimination round and stuff. So yeah, that's my third milestone, literally like Super Idol 4. So I went there, went to Shanghai back in 2018. So we were practicing and stuff. So you see a lot of new faces, young people. You know, I was 25 years old. I'm like, oh, some of them are 18 years old, 21 years old. They're so young. All of them are good looking, you know, like looks mean nothing there, like literally. So you see some of them like, because we are auditioning in the public. Like top 50, we still have to audition in front of the judges. The judges are international superstars like Gary Chow. One of our judges is Gary Chow, and there's one from Taiwan. It's called Xiao Pang Lao Shi. So this kind of like really A-list celebrities and stuff. So we see everybody's talent on the spot. So we're like, oh shit, that guy's talented. Oh wow, this guy's talented. So where do you stand?
Yeah, how do you feel inadequate?
Yeah, you feel like intimidated and stuff. But once we go through that judging round, we are separating the groups, like the good group and the bad group. I was in the bad group. So,
oh no.
Yeah, I was in the bad group. Like, okay, all right, put in the bad group. So I'm like, okay, I was in the bad group.
Hey, this is Eric here, just dropping in to check in on you. Are you getting value so far from this interview? Because if you are, I'm very happy for you. And I'm really curious to know what are some of the key takeaways. So after the interview, go to social media, screenshot your learnings and tag me, all right? So that we can connect. Okay. I'm going to leave you to listen to the rest of the interview. Enjoy.
Okay. Were you affected when you felt like, oh my God, people already label me as the bad group?
Nah, I think it's cool. I think it's actually better. Like you're the underdog group.
Oh my God. The way you see things is so different from how people see it. Guys, remember this. When someone say you're bad, tell yourself, Underdog,
man. Seriously. And it actually happened. So we were given tasks. We were given 3 songs throughout the 3 months. So we have to practice each song. We were separated into groups after that, like 5 people, each group, 6 people, each group. So we have to perform as a boy band. So we have to learn dancing. We have to learn singing the song, memorizing the lyrics, singing them properly and stuff. And we have coaches from Korea and they are really, really strict. They throw chairs at you and stuff. Really crazy, man. But they're really, really good as well. So during the first performance, they actually label us because this is already top 30. So I managed to go in the top 30. So they will actually announce the placing from 30 until number one. And guess who got the last place 30? Me. I got freaking 30. Like top 30, like 30, the last place. Then like they say my Chinese name, Feng Wei Chun, I'm the last. Everybody was looking, everybody was shocked. They were like, why is he the last place, you know?
How do you feel at that moment when someone said that you were last?
Yeah, it was pretty surreal. You feel a bit sad because you put in that much effort. But at the same time, you feel like there's nothing you can do about it. You could only do better the next round.
That's very true.
Yeah. So we were separated into groups again. And this time, I was in the rap division. I don't know how to rap. So I was in the freaking rap division because I got last. I can't even choose. I was thrown in there. So we have 5 people. And nobody looked up to our group. They'd be like, this group is all like all the not so good, you know, and outcasts and stuff. So we practiced really, really hard for like a few weeks. Not just for a week, less than a week. Then our group for the second song, we actually got number one.
Oh, beautiful. Come back.
Yeah, we came back. We got number one and stuff. Everybody was really into our performance. We don't care about getting last or anything. We just concentrate on our performance.
Thank you. Yeah. How do you feel? Let's think about that moment. Initially, when you got 30, you know, you feel sad, but you tell yourself, you know, I'm going to give it a try. And then when you realize that you were at the top, how do you feel, you and the group?
You feel great, man. You feel like, wow. So I guess that failure and failing is two different things. So when you fail for one time, it does not equals to failure. it only equals to failure if you stop trying, I suppose. Yeah.
Daniel, this is so beautiful. Could you do us a favor and say it one more time so that people can take notes? What do you just say again?
Yes. So failure and failing is different. So if you fail and you stop trying, that's failure. But if you fail and you continue trying, that's not failure. That's you learning from your mistakes and doing better the next time.
B-A-A, beautiful, guys. This is Daniel Fong. Amazing. And tell us the third song. Because remember the competition got three songs, right? Yeah.
Three songs, yeah. So the third song we're going to perform with our guest judges. So all of them are like A-list superstars in China. So we got the third song and stuff. So everybody got good grades, and because it's the last song, they got to do it for the show. Like, everybody's good. You guys improved so much. So that's when they actually split us up to top 15. So I got into top 15.
Woo!
After everything, I got into top 15 and I got a contract opportunity with China. Yeah, so it's up to you to actually decide if you want to continue with the journey to sign with that company or not. But at the end of the day, when I look at the terms and stuff, I have to tell myself, what do I really, really want? Do I want to be a dancer, a K-pop artist, or this kind of boy band stuff? If that's what I want, this is the best opportunity for me. But at that time, I was thinking to myself, I have to make a really, really strong decision already. So I told myself, I like acting more. And I feel like my journey in Malaysia, from Malaysia, basing in Malaysia, would be better. Because number one, I'm the only child and I am a family kind of guy. So I told them, like, I would love future collaborations, but I'm not going to sign to your company. And they totally understand and they're fine with it.
So cool. My God. And that's why Malaysia get to enjoy Daniel Fong. And that's why you came back. Yeah. No, wow, so beautiful. Do you guys who are listening to this, right? I wish you can be here at the studio to look at Daniel. And I mean, this is his first podcast, by the way, his first official podcast. The first time that we really get to, you know, take a look back at the entire 4-year journey that Daniel has been. Now, Daniel, we spoke so much about your past. Let's talk a little bit about your future. The truth of the matter is your world, it's a scary world sometimes, you know. Some days you're up, some days you're down. Aren't you afraid that you would just be fireworks, that you'll be bright for a while, and then after that, someone else will come along, another new face will come along? How do you stay relevant?
Yeah, I think that's the problem that all artists, especially indie artists, so independent artists such as myself, we are not backed up by a company. We write the plans on our own. We decide how we're going to go through with it. So it's very, very scary. There are days where I actually feel like giving up, honestly. I feel like, should I just get a day job, you know, like continue doing insurance, or should I just do a startup, you know, with some friends, you know, invest in some money and stuff. But it's very, very hard. So because you are so passionate about this industry. So what I did was the next best move, which I could think of, which is to pivot my industry. I was in the Chinese industry. So I pivoted to the Malay industry. So I did that last year, 2020, because we had the pandemic and stuff. And in fact, in the Chinese industry, I only had one gig. And that one gig, you can't survive for the whole year from that one gig. So what I did, I pivot to the Malay industry because the Malay population is more. So we actually have more gigs. I was in 4 Malay dramas last year, ever since the MCO was open, which is the lockdown. So from there, I have a lot of other brands as well because they see, like, who's this new face in the Malay industry? We want to use him for our commercials, for our branding, social media branding and stuff. So that opened up new doors for me.
Wasn't it difficult for you to pivot though? Because you've been so used to the Chinese industry. You were in China, you know, and then to switch to Malay community, the Malay market, was it difficult?
It's very difficult in a way, like the culture is different. Like the way people work is still the same. It's just that the way people handle stuff, it could be a little bit different. The language is different. And I got to speak like a real Malay accent. And that was really, really tough because I was in an international school international school in high school. So I stopped speaking Malay there. And then I was in college doing A-levels. We were using English all the way. And I went straight to Melbourne. And then when I came back, I don't have many Malay friends. So when I came back, I was already doing all these side gigs in Chinese. I got to learn Chinese from scratch as well, because I wasn't really good in Chinese as well. I only speak English.
This is what we call chakangdang, eat potatoes.
Yeah. So I got to speak Malay. So I got my first drama back in July, 2020 July, for Malay drama. They liked my look a lot. So they actually didn't give me a casting. They actually treat my first day as a casting. If they don't like me, they're going to ask the script writer to cut off my character.
Kill you off.
Yeah, they threw me off. So they told me you have to be in Terengganu for 2 days for the shoot. So it's one of the states, one of the suburbs in Malaysia. So I was like, okay. So I did 2 shoots in Kuala Lumpur, and then I'm supposed to do 2 more days in Terengganu. But because I was doing a lot of reading, I was studying a lot in Malay, trying to get the proper training and stuff, they actually liked me a lot. They actually extend my 2 days into 2 weeks in Terengganu. They asked the script writer to add more scenes for me and stuff.
Give me more episodes.
So the character is actually just a very small character, but because they keep adding stuff, it became one of the main supporting character.
So proud of you, Daniel. Oh my God. And how do you feel about this achievement?
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the drama to come out. It's not out yet. And
what's the title of this drama so we can look out for it?
It's called Derhaka Cinta Jebat.
What does it mean?
It means, Derhaka means that or something like that. Then Cinta means love, and Jebat is a guy's name. That love, something like that.
I see. Okay, we'll look forward to it. Those of you from Malaysia, we have a very big following of listeners from Malaysia. In fact, for those of you who do not know, I was just telling Daniel, we were number 3 in the entire business. Or was it number 1? Okay, I might get it wrong, but my team was very excited about it. So we might actually be number 2. I remember because BFM 89.9, it's a very, very popular radio station. They were number 1 for the business. I think we were number 2. Right. I'll be happy number 3 as well. I mean, come on. Daniel is happy being 30, and from 30, he becomes top 15. Guys, any one of you who look down on you and say you can't make it, you know, have Daniel's attitude, hustle attitude, you're going to do fine, man, like what he is right now.
I think the scariest attitude that's, it's not the scariest, it's actually the best attitude. It's those people who won't stop trying. Because if you don't stop trying, you will definitely get somewhere. You only lose things out when you stop trying. I think it's the same for you as well, Eric.
I love it. And it kind of reminds me of Yoda, right? Do or no do, right? There's no try. Just I know what you meant by trying. I mean, it's just do. Don't think too much, you know? Sometimes we overthink and overanalyze.
Yeah. And yeah, you look back, some of your friends, your blast from the past, you'll have friends texting you again, like, hey, I see that you've been doing pretty good, you know, that kind of stuff.
So tell us a little bit about social media. How has social media been a very big part of your career branding and your and everything that you do? Is it a big part?
Yeah, I think social media is actually a really, really magical place. Because back in the 90s or even in the 20s, when there's no social media, there's no Instagram or Facebook, like how do you determine a celebrity's popularity, honestly? You can say that some people can say that he's really popular. There's no numbers to define that. But now with social media, like people will define that by using the number of followers or how high your engagement is to determine how popular you are. So yeah. So it helps me a lot. Like even some of the jobs nowadays, they actually look at the number of followers you have.
There you go. Right. I mean, it's all about perception, right, Daniel? I mean, like whether a person sees that you are popular or in demand has a lot to do with your social media following. I mean, it doesn't measure your self-worth. I think it's very important for all of you guys to take note that the number of followers doesn't indicate your self-worth, but it's just a very convenient metric for decision makers to decide if you're credible enough. Now, in my world, Daniel, in the training world and even in the sales world, right, people do look at us this way, that when you are in demand, you become more in demand. Like when you are seen to be very busy on social media, then everybody wants to do business with you. Is that the same in the entertainment world?
It is the same. Like when I was filming the Malay drama, because I was doing back to back from last year, ever since the lockdown was lifted up from July until in fact early January, I was still shooting during New Year's Eve. Like literally every day or the day after or the week after you have gigs, you know? So people will be telling you, like texting you, like, hey, you've been really busy. And surprisingly, you have a lot of commercials company texting you like, hey, Daniel, we want you to be here. We want you to do that. You'll be surprised. Like, hey, where have you guys been? You know, when I was needing some money. You get what I mean?
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. Do you ask them like, why now? Why you?
I don't want to ask so much. I'm like, just give me the job. Yeah.
Yeah, just give me the money. Right, give me the opportunities, right?
Yeah. But yeah, like what you said, Eric, it makes a lot of sense. When it's just like, people want things that other people want. Yeah. So it's just like, let's say I'm buying a potato chips from the supermarket. Like, I see everybody's eating that. Like, it used to be really popular, Irwin's fish skin or stuff. I see that person eat, I want to eat that Irwin's fish skin as well. So when the demand is high from here, when your peers see it, for like my line, when the brand see it and stuff, they want to use this guy. Like, I want this guy on the face, on my cover, this kind of stuff.
You hear it fresh from an entertainer, guys, like, you know, Daniel Fong. And I just want to repeat that this is how the world behaves. You know, when you are, I always like to tell them this, when you are a nobody, you know, even your words of wisdom will sound like, but when you are a somebody, even your sounds like words of wisdom.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So we need to build our brand on social media. Now, what were some of the lessons that you have learned as you're building your brand? Because you know how like on social media, it can be quite toxic, you know, especially when you see people doing well and we tend to compare our behind the scenes with people's highlight reel. Is that an issue for you as well?
Yeah, of course. I was saying before the social media world is a magical place, but it could be very toxic as well because you're comparing with people from the same field, even your peers, the same age or even younger than you, they're doing so well. And you'll be like, what am I doing? You know, why am I doing that? Why aren't I doing that well? So I think it's really, really important. And especially people in my line or even in the business line, any line you're at, I think that the moment you start comparing with another person, I mean, you have to compare, you have to set your idols, you have to set your heroes, but it's different than comparing yourself with your peers all the time. How are you going to compare with one another? Some people, they earn a lot at a young age. Some of them get a lot, but maybe your time would be at the end, you know, maybe later. So the moment you stop comparing all the time, that's when you can actually use more of your energy to actually focus on what you're doing and what you're good at.
This is so beautiful.
You'll get what you want by having the more energy to actually focus on what you do. So yeah.
Most of our energy is burnt out comparing, feeling miserable about ourselves or trying to compete. But what you're saying is we should play our own game and all of us will have a moment of glory, some early, some middle, some late, but we have to play our own game.
Yeah, play our own game, you know, like it depends on everybody's personality. Some people, they get it fast because they are hustling every day. You know, that's their day. They are like really, really energetic. They need to burn out the midnight oil to do everything right so they can get it fast. But if your personality, it's you like to take it easy, chill, but you don't get things right, you're meticulous on the stuff, you'll definitely reach there as long as you don't stop trying.
Love it. And I feel like Daniel's about to rap already when he said that, don't stop trying. I think that's a song that something like don't stop trying. I can't remember, but definitely that's a good message. Now, Daniel, we're coming to the end of the podcast and thank you so, so much for accepting this interview. I mean, now I know why you accept this interview because Daniel, you know, it's all about, yes, you never know, man. You know, the opportunity can lead you somewhere, right? Now tell us, you know, give us a word of encouragement. You know, a lot of people listening to you right now, they are entrepreneurs, they are service professionals, building their own personal brand. They are not in the entertainment world, but they are also looking for customers. They are looking for endorsement. What do you have to say to them to encourage them?
All right. I think at the end of the day, it's about focusing on yourself. I always tell that when I go for universities for talk, I give a word of advice to a friend. I always say that, at the end of the day, the core, which is yourself, your own self. So I always tell them, a better you will attract a better next. So if you focus on improving yourself, taking lessons or whatever, you might not be the best right now. You might not even be good at what you like to do. But as long as you don't stop improving yourself, you'll definitely attract something better than you have right now.
I love it. A better you leads to a better next. ladies and gentlemen, that's Daniel Fong. You know, if you are new to him, well, I guess you're going to be his raving fan really, really soon. Daniel, how can we keep in touch with you? How can we, you know, enjoy your music? We can get to know you. How do we do that?
Yeah, you can follow my Instagram. It's Daniel Fong, WC. And I'm also playing TikTok right now. So I started playing a little bit. That's also Daniel Fong, WC. So literally all my social medias are Daniel Fong, WC.
Fantastic. All you TikTokers out there, go check out Daniel. I'll put now all his Instagram and all his different social media handles in the show notes. So that's when you can reach out to Daniel. And please go say hi to him, DM him. He's very friendly. You know, and tell him that what you have taken away from today's interview. I think that would be pretty cool. We want to know what's your biggest takeaway, right? Daniel, thank you so much. I look forward to see you, you know, flourish in every single country in this world. And all the best. I hope to see you in person soon, right?
All right. See you too, Eric. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you so much for listening to the entire interview. I trust that it was valuable to you. Now, it would mean the world to me if you could write me a review. So, who knows? Your review may be featured in the very next episode. So, what are you waiting for? Go, write a review now.
Hashtag highly sought after.